I'm doing a commercial break for our bookstore. We're wrapping up our series on identity in our bookstore. Great little mini book called In Him. Who has read this book? Yeah, that's a good one. This is mine. You can't have them. There's a whole bunch in the bookstore. This one's Identification by E.W. Kenyon. That's last week's message. Excellent, excellent. You need to get that one. And today we're going to talk about a righteousness. This is a little mini book in our bookstore. Your right standing. And this one I'll tell you about in a few minutes. Okay, that was my commercial break for the bookstore. You know, I think Sunday morning's fun. I'm here. It's fun. But I can't get you everything. All right? So I'm going to dish out, a pastor friend said that like this way, it's just buckshot, baby. I am just shooting buckshot out, but you can pick this stuff up and you continue to grow in it, and you can grab stuff from our bookstore and keep growing, all right? So second thing, I copied sheets of paper. I was corrected. We don't call them confession sheets anymore. They're declarations. Woohoo! All right, whatever words you like. But these are sheets that are in the back here, and they are scriptures that I pulled up for you, typed them up, or really somebody else did, typed them up, ran them off. I ran them off for y'all. But take one of these sheets and just dig in it every day. Go, oh, yeah, I am God's workmanship. Well, did you hear what my boss said? No, I am God's workmanship, and it gives you the scripture. So these are sheets in the back. Go grab them. They're do you good. Okay, and these are mine. Those are yours. That's it. Okay, there we go. Okay. All right, down to business. We better pray. Father, you're so fantastic. You just thrill me. I thank you, Father, that you are our Father. I thank you that you have always loved us. You've loved us so much that you've sent Jesus to die for us and to redeem us. And we sang about 3 songs about us and to bring us into your presence. We just thank you so much. We thank you, Father, that while our feet are still on this planet, that you have given us the Word, the Bible, the living Word that is alive. And today, Father, I confess, I declare that our ears are open, that our hearts are prepared, Father, and that we will hear and apply this in our lives, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody went Pentecostal crazy on me. Amen. Okay. You know, you ought to do that. I mean, geez, so much fun. Okay. So we're doing a series about identity. Did you figure that out? This is like week number 5. I haven't done a 5-week in a long time. Week number 5. And people have been asking this this question about identity from beginning of time. Why am I here? What am I here for? And if you're a believer, you do the same thing. Why am I here? God, what am I supposed to be doing? So, and we cry out to know our identity. So that's what we're doing it. But the really crazy thing is right now in the world, in the culture that we live in, the world, when I say the world and the culture, I'm talking about people that are far from God, have not received Jesus, okay? So the world and the culture that we live in is pushing, slamming every commercial, every TV show, and a whole bunch of other junk. They are pushing an idea about your identity that is, it should shake you up. And it should shake you up. It does, okay? So we went over, every week I go over my list of things that the culture and the world's pushing, like identity, religion, social identity, politics. And then I went over the 2, and I'm just going to go on them again because they need to be talked about. But the 2 biggies that the world we're living in that is pushing is race identity, okay? They're pushing it hard. And the thing is, it's not what Jesus is pushing. It is not what Jesus is pushing, all right? And this race identity, I'll tell you how you can know real quick. It's separating people. What they're pushing is separating, all right? And listen, Jesus came to bring all groups together. Read your book of Acts. They met all together in one accord, and it didn't matter what your financial status, your color of your skin was, any of that. They met together. So Jesus brings people together. The church should bring people together, all right? It's the place that should happen, all right? So we talked about race identity, and the second one we talked about was gender identity. And someone says, oh, Pastor D, you should be really careful about what you say, or better yet, Pastor D, would you just shut up? We don't want to hear this anymore. Well, I'm up here this morning, and I'm going to tell you a few things. Okay? So, yes, I had a lot of coffee today. Praise God. But listen, guys, this is the truth. God made you. Everybody say, put your hand on your head. God made me. God made me. And listen, the world's telling you, you can question who you are. Are you sure you're a girl? Are you sure you're a guy? Well, listen, let me say it again. God made you who you are. Just smile at yourself. I'm going, I'm good, I'm sick. Okay? So, but a lot of people will say, or some people will say, oh, yes, Pastor Day, yes, but I'm so confused and I have these feelings. I get it. You can have feelings, but it doesn't change that God made you and you were made in his image and he made you who you are. As a matter of fact, we went over a scripture that goes like, how can those who were created, by the way, raise your hand, you were created. Okay, how can those who were created go and complain to the creator, you know, God, I don't like who you made me. You know, God, I think you made a mistake. That, you know, and the Bible says you can't do that. The scriptures say you can't do that, okay? Now, you may be here and say, I really don't care what the Bible says because maybe you're not a believer. But listen, we care and we understand this one thing. This Bible is our final authority, okay? And there are a ton of scriptures that tell you that God made you, okay? So we are made in his image. God made you. And listen, there are days I look in the mirror and I'm going, God, I really don't like the way I look. And maybe you look in the mirror and go, oh, Lord, I got short and stubby legs, okay? But listen, God made me. Compared to Sherry's legs, you know, they're like this, okay? But listen, God made you. God made you. And so when you go and say, God, I don't like the way you made me. I think you made a mistake. I should have been this and I should have been that, okay? No. This word of God says you are who you are because God made you. And you, okay. So I said all of that. Let's go review week one. Who was here for week one? We talked about before Christ. Week one, before Christ. And we said in week one, before Christ, we all started out at the same place. Okay? We all started before Christ. And then we said we all started before Christ in the same place as sinners. Anybody remember that? Okay, we all started as sinners, all right? Now, you may be thinking, oh, Pastor D, I know that. I'm a sinner. You're here because you need to hear a few things. If you're walking around going, yeah, but I am still a sinner. No, you're not. Once you receive Jesus Christ, you are no longer a sinner, okay? So we talked about that. And it's really interesting when someone has that thought, you know, I was a sinner, I am a sinner. You know what you're going to do? Sin, because you got this in your brain all the time, right? So anyway, we are no longer a sinner. You have been saved by grace, and God's grace empowers you to live the life Jesus has for you. God's grace will give you the power to do that. So that's what we did in week one. We talked about before. I'm giving you the fast review. Week two, we talked about who are you? Week three, we talked about the new me. The new me now is found in Jesus. It's found in Jesus. And last week we talked about identification. So if you missed any of that, I talked really fast. You can go online. What else did we do? Facebook. What else, Sherry? You know, all those things. Facebook, what? Oh, yeah, we got all that stuff, you know. Yeah. Okay, so today, if you're taking notes, we're going to talk about after. The after Christ, like after I'm now in Christ, right? So now that you are in Christ, what's my life look like? Now that I'm in Christ, what does my life look like, all right? So again, week one we talked about before, but now we're going to talk about after. Now before I get to that, I want to ask you a question. Wave your hand if you got to watch the Olympics. Oh my gosh. I was a little addicted. I just loved it. But then I finally recorded because I was like, wah, wah, wah. Okay, so the Olympics, all righty. Who likes to watch the swimming, the diving? I really like track. Not the field part, but the track part. It's just amazing, just amazing. So I'm watching this, and have you ever heard in the Olympics where some people have lost their medal. Now, I didn't mean because they didn't know where they put it, okay? I put it in a drawer. I don't know what it is. No, they lost. It had been taken away from them, their gold or their silver medal. And unfortunately, it has happened quite a few times, okay? So their medal, they lost their medal. It was taken away. Their standing with as a gold medalist or silver was taken away from them. Anybody ever hear about that, read stories about that? So why do I say that? Because have you ever sinned? Don't raise your hand, everybody. Have you ever sinned and felt like you lost your standing with God? Okay. Okay, have you ever felt like, well, now since I messed up, since I sinned, I have to work my way back to God because I lost my standing with God, okay? Wow, no amens there. Nobody raised their hand. Yippee, good, okay? But here's the thing here. We've all done it. We've all done it, especially in my early walk with life, with the Lord, okay? When I did something wrong, I felt like, oh man, I just can't go through the front door. I've lost my standing. At least in my mind, I thought that because I'd done some things some wrong. Anybody ever do that? No, just Pastor D. Gosh, that's why she's up here, all right? So, if you have, or better yet, you know, Pastor D, I've never done that, but I know some people, then please listen. Please listen to this, okay? Because we're going to talk about righteous and righteousness. The word righteous and righteousness. And did you know there's 450 scriptures in your Bible about righteous and righteousness? So you know what that tells me? I think there's some things we need to know, all right? So, righteous. Now, that's so cool. No, it's not cool. It's just interesting. The word righteous or righteousness is not used outside of the church, okay? Now, maybe in the 90s, I think they said, oh, righteous dude or something like that, okay? It meant you were cool. It wasn't cool, but it meant you cool, okay? But righteousness and righteous doesn't mean anything like that. So let me give you a definition. If you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. What is righteous or righteousness, okay? Number one, it means right standing. Right standing. Or listen to this, right placement with God. I like that. Right placement with God. It also means to be justified or made just. So when God made us, he made us righteous. He made us right standing with him, okay? And we'll get into more of that. But here's another definition which I kind of like. Listen, write this one down. To be made innocent. To be made innocent. Now, the last thing you probably think is, I'm so innocent, even Christians, because I've done this wrong, you know, I didn't do something that I should have done, or I did something I should have done, and guess what? You don't feel so innocent, right? I don't, okay? So we're going to look at that, and we're going to look at what righteous and righteousness is, all right? And I'm telling you, this is foundational. This is probably the beginning of your walk with Jesus when you get this. Because if you don't understand right place with God, righteousness, or innocent, you'll have this thought, oh, I'm not innocent, I'm not righteous. And what it does is it affects your relationship with God. It affects how you hang out with God, talk to God, and it even dribbles into relationships. So this topic, this understanding of being right place with God, it really can mess you up, all right? So I think it was week two I said this, or it said, Christianity is the only identity that you receive and you don't achieve. That's a good one to write down. Ready? Christianity is the only identity that you receive from God. You receive from God. You receive from God, and you don't have to achieve it, all right? Now, sometimes this is hard for people that have been raised in some church backgrounds, and I was raised in a church background where everything had to do with achievements. If you do this, if you do this, if you do this, if you light this candle, if you do this, then you can get this. You could even go to heaven if you do this, you do this, you do this, okay? So it was all about achievements. And But here's the thing. As a Christian, as a follower, any followers of Jesus, any believers here? Okay, as a follower of Jesus, you don't have to achieve anything. You just simply receive, right? You receive what God has already done for you. He made you right. Everybody say, He made me right. Yeah, He made me right. He made you righteous, okay? So again, you don't have to achieve anything. You don't have to do anything. He made you righteous, okay? So, and God gave you that righteousness the day you accepted Jesus. The day you accepted Jesus. So we'll get into more of that. But here's the thing. There are tons of Christians. I run into them all the time, and they don't know that they are righteous or right with God now. Right? And many of them feel, well, I can't be righteous because, you know, I still got this issue in my life. So it might be good for you, but it's not good for me. All right? And so they have this goofy attitude towards God because they don't know that they've been made right with God. And you're made right with God the day you receive Jesus. Okay? Now, before we get into after and righteous, I want to say one more quick thing about before Christ. Matter of fact, point number one, before Christ. Before Christ, none of you, none of you, none of you, none of me, nobody listening online, none of you had righteousness. Before Christ, none of us were righteous, okay? Now, how many of you guys know Pastor Jim Law? Pastor Jim Law has spoken here many times. He used to live up around the Harrisburg. He's living down in Louisiana, so we don't get to see him that often. But Pastor Jim, you know what? You come here and you've heard him. But listen, before Jesus, Pastor Jim, before Jesus and Pastor Jim, before Jim knew Jesus, before, you would not have said, man, that dude is really righteous. No, he was, I was trying to think of a nice word and I couldn't think of it, but he was a stinker when he was growing up, ended up in Camp Hill Penitentiary for I don't know how many years, okay? So you you would not have said, oh, he's so righteous, okay? You would have said, that guy knows how to sin really well, all right? But the Pastor Jim Law that we've had come speak here, by the way, here's his book, Rebellion to Righteousness. And if anybody would like a copy after church, you can take it because I have some more, okay? It's a good one, all righty? So, but here's the thing. Before Christ, we were all sinners. We all started at the same place. We were all sinners, okay? Now, here's the danger. Can you believe it? Your Bible's dangerous? No. Here's the danger. If you read the Old Testament without understanding the new side. When you read the Old Testament, and you should, okay? But if you don't understand the new covenant, it's going to mess you up, all right? So y'all know, the Old Testament is Genesis 2. You get a lollipop if you answer the next question. To Malachi. Yes, I don't have lollipops, but you can go downstairs and get one. Okay, Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi. Soon as you flip the page there, you're in the new side. But listen, the old side, Genesis to Malachi, was not written to you. Point to someone and say, it was not written to you. It was written to the Jews. Okay, but, I love when I do but. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all of God's promises are what? Yes and amen, okay? So that means you can find any promise on both sides that apply to you as an individual, and you can grab hold of them, okay? You can grab hold of them, all right? The promises, not the curses and stuff, okay? So, but, when you read something like Isaiah, and we're talking about righteousness. Listen to this. Isaiah 64, verse 6. Again, Isaiah, Old Testament, Old Covenant, okay? And he says this in Isaiah, but we all are like unclean things, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. Now, can you imagine me walking up to somebody and say, hey, how you doing? And they go, oh, you know, my righteousness just feels like a filthy rag. Matter of fact, I feel filthy, like a filthy rag. Like, what? Okay, listen, you are not a filthy rag, right? That was written to who? All right, it was not written to us, all righty? So when you go around with this thinking, though, there's thinking, my righteousness is filthy. I'm a filthy person, okay? It will mess up your relationship here, all right? It just messes it up, all righty? So let's talk about after Christ, not before. Before, we're going to talk about after. Turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 3. Romans 10, verse 3. This is the Apostle Paul. Listen to what he says. Romans 10, 3, the Apostle Paul. He says, they, meaning the Jews, okay, he's talking about Jews, they being ignorant of God's righteousness. So they didn't understand that. They being ignorant of God's righteousness, seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. All right. So you see that word ignorant? It does not mean stupid. It does not mean stupid. It means uninformed. Now, how many of you would like to be uninformed? No, you're okay, uninformed of your righteousness. I don't. I want to be informed about my righteousness, okay? So the crazy thing is there are many Christians that go to church that have never been taught that they are God's righteousness, okay? They have right standing with God, okay? He gave them righteousness. And that is why I am going to teach this, because we're going to learn, and I don't want you uninformed. So everybody say, I'm not going to be uninformed. Because I'm telling you, if you're uninformed on you now are righteous, it messes up how you hang out with the Lord. All right? I don't want to be messed up. All right. So here we go. So point number one, none of us, we had no righteousness before you came to Jesus. Number two, if you're taking notes, you should take notes. Write this down. Righteousness is a gift. Everybody say it's a gift. And it's not achieved. It's not achieved. Now, there's a difference. There's a big difference on a gift or I have to work for this. I have to earn this. Okay. Think about the Olympics again, because I really had fun watching the Olympics. The Olympics, okay? So they are awarded something, their medals, right? Because they did real good. Better yet, they were the best. They were awarded because they did something, all right? But righteousness, being right with God, is a gift. It's a gift. No strings attached. It's a gift. Praise God. Now, you are not awarded righteousness. You just accept it. Praise God. But here's what happens with people. Here's what happened. And how many of you know that God wants you well? How many of you know that God wants you healed? How many of you know that God wants you blessed? Good. I'll tell you. He does. He wants it. He wants you well. He wants to touch your life. He wants to heal you. He wants to bless you, okay? But here's what happens if you have this wrong thinking about righteousness. God, I've been going to church. God, I've been praying. God, I give all the time. What's going on with you, God? How come you're not doing stuff, God? I was reading, I was praying, okay? And God's like, I'd love to see the face of God. He'd go, I don't give you it because you do anything. Righteousness is a gift. You simply receive it. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. So, you get righteousness the day you receive Jesus. Righteousness is a gift by faith and grace, and God gives you the power to just walk it out. Now, so I'm going to say, I know this might be hard to believe, but not everybody loved Jesus when he was walking on the planet. Not everybody. Sure, Pastor D, they crucified him. But listen, there was one group that he butt heads with all the time. They were the self-righteous bunch, okay? Look at me, Jesus. Look what I do. Look how smart I am. Look at me, Jesus. I do this. I give this, okay? Okay? Did you know Jesus is not impressed with that then? And he's not impressed with you now. I give. I go, okay? So he's not impressed with it. You are righteous. It is a gift because God gave it to you. Okay, you just receive it. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians 3. Your righteousness is because you receive it when you accepted Jesus into your life. All right, Philippians 3:9. This is Paul. To be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Okay, so I kind of read that. Apparently you can try, but he says, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. By the way, the law, there was like 600 laws. Okay, and they were all about you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this so you can get that, all right? So here's Paul saying, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but which is through faith in Christ, with the righteousness which is from God. So we have righteousness, right? Right standing with God, the day you put your faith in Jesus. Flat out, you are made righteous. You should be sitting up tall and pretty right now. I have been made righteous, okay? That's when we became righteous. Now, listen to what Paul says, and he throws in a different word, and we're going to talk about it. Romans 5:17. This is Paul again, okay? It says, if by the trespasses of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and, watch this, the gift of what? Righteousness, reign in life through that one man, Jesus Christ, okay? Now, see that word became, right? Excuse me, I lost my place here. Where am I? Wrong scripture. Sorry. All right. I'm not lost. I know where I am. All right. Where am I? Okay. This is why I have notes. Praise the Lord. You should see me drive some days. Praise the Lord. All right. So going back to this, righteousness is a gift. It's not something you earn. Okay. Here we go. If I gave you a gift today and you open it and you go, oh, Pastor D, that is so nice. You know what I'm going to do, Pastor D? I'm going to go try to work and earn and pay off this gift I gave, this gift. And I'm going to go, no, it was a gift. So when we go, I'm going to pray more, God. I'm going to read more, God. God, you'll be proud of me. He's like, I gave you this gift. Just say thank you, right? I just gave you this gift, all right? So righteousness is a gift. Praise the Lord. Put your seatbelts on. When you get to heaven, you are not going to be more righteous because you are in heaven. Right now, you are righteous. You don't get more. Some of you are going to get to heaven and they're going to go, dang, Pastor D was right. I'm not more righteous. No, you are right standing, made right, placed right with him right now. Just right now. You don't get more, all right? You don't get more. So righteousness is a free gift. You already have it. You have it now. Everybody said, I am right now. I am right now with God. Praise God. Here's why. Point number three, if you're taking notes, we were born righteous. You were born righteous, all right? Now, how many of you, you can raise your hand, how many of you grew up in the 60s, 70s music? It's cool music. Jeez, I love it, all right? So here's the thing. There is a song that came out. It's called Born to Be Wild. I'm not singing because I could really just go nuts. But listen to this. I know, that was good. Listen to that. You were born not wild, you were born righteous. The day you asked Jesus Christ into your life, you were born righteous. You were born righteous, okay? Now, praise God, I'm glad I'm born righteous, all right? The day you accept it. Now, turn over to 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is where I wanted to go, but I got lost and got on the right trail. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, right? He knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See that word become? When I see that word become, I keep thinking, well, then eventually, if I do this, I will become righteous, right standing with God, okay? But the Greek doesn't say that. and I'm not pronouncing the word, you know what it says? You were born righteous. It doesn't say you'll become. The day you accepted Jesus, you were born righteous, not wild. Okay? And the man who knew no sin, Jesus, our sin was put on him. He was made sin, and so that you could be born righteous, right standing with God. I'm going to get a t-shirt, born righteous, right? That's our new thing, born righteous, okay? So you have right standing with God. You have it's righteousness is a gift, and you were born righteous. God made you right. Now, what would happen if people with their identity would walk around, I am right with God. I was born righteous. And you know, a lot of people will tell you otherwise, but if you've got this in you, you're like, I got this new identity. I am born right with God, all right? So one more scripture, that same scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:21, but I want to read this out of the Living Bible. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 5:21 out of the Living. For God took the sinless Christ and poured into him whose sins? Our sins. Poured into him. And then in exchange, he poured God's goodness or righteousness into us. That's fantastic. Praise God. So God took our sins, poured it into Jesus, and then Jesus says, you are now made right with him. You are born that way. All right? Years ago, I was at this meeting, and I was just a newbie. Like, I think I knew who Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was. I finally read my Bible. And I was at this meeting, and so I'm going to steal it because it was really good. The speaker said, you all, us all, have first-class righteousness. And I was like, what? And then he used this example, and I got it. Okay, how many of you have ever flown on an airplane first class? I'm still waiting. Okay, but first class versus economy, big difference, right? Now, I've never sat in one of those seats, but you walk by, they have big fat seats. Like, they're this big as opposed to you're all squished in, tighter than that, all right? So the seats are bigger in first class. And if you're flying overseas and you're doing 12 to 24 hours, first class. Do you know what they do with those seats that are big and wide? They lay back, your feet go up, they build this little thing, and you can sleep first class, right? And you have unlimited food and drinks. Diet Coke, right? Okay, food. I'd be like giving it. Now, I've only seen this on the movie, but that looks dang good, right? Someday, believe God, first class, all right? So first class. Guess what, guys? Jesus died on the cross. He was resurrected from the dead, seated at the right hand of Father God, and he gave you first-class righteousness. You don't have to squiggle in. Oh, okay? Everybody say, I am first-class righteous now. Don't you like first-class? Someday. Okay, so we had, oh, yeah, baby, I'm going first-class, okay? So we had no righteousness before. Okay? Righteousness is a gift, not awarded, and we are born righteous. Here's my last one, point number four. Jesus removes all our guilt and shame. He removes all your guilt and shame when you become righteous. All righty? And I'm telling you, the whole reason for this message is unless you understand that, it messes up your relationship and how you approach God. It does. It really does. I know I keep saying this. Now, I don't know if anybody did this, but when I first received Jesus, I was coming out of a denomination, okay, but I would do something wrong. Yes, Pastor D would do something wrong. And I'd say, God, I'm so sorry. I promise I'll never do it again. Well, let me tell you that's a big mistake because you'll probably do it again because we live in a flesh and we like to do things over and over, okay? Until, all righty? So I would go, God, please forgive me. I promise I'll not do it again, okay? Now, I was just a new Christian. I didn't know my righteousness, okay? But here's what I know now. Watch this. He removed all my sin and shame the day I was born righteous. Now, I know there's a lot of people that just love to throw your mud back on you, okay? But Jesus doesn't. He removed all my, And listen, we were all sinners. That means you all did mess ups. That means you should all have sin and guilt. But the day I asked him into my life, the day you asked him into life, he removed all my sin. My sin, my shame, and guilt. Okay? Now, again, I'm going to say this. Sin, shame, guilt, message makes you weird when you approach God. It makes you weird, all right? Okay, like God, I know I don't deserve this. And God, let me tell you for the first 5 minutes how I messed up and I did this and I didn't do that and I should have done that. God, I need you to forgive me. God, please forgive me. God, I promise I won't do it again. Okay, now the only reason why you would approach God like that is you don't know that he took all your sin, your shame, and your guilt. That's the only reason that you'll get, that's that's messed up going to Jesus, going to God, all right? Now, I know you're not allowed to have favorites, but one of my favorites is E.W. Kenyon. Anybody ever hear me talk about him, okay? E.W. Kenyon, he was a Baptist minister. And then he ran into this bunch. He got spirit-filled, tongue talker, just radically changed his life. Listen to what he said. Righteousness is the ability to stand in the presence of the Father without a sense of guilt or shame, okay? To stand without the sense of condemnation or inferiority, although, as though you had never sinned, as though you'd never sinned. So I go into the throne room, ta-da, I'm here, Dad. And he goes, come on over here, sit down with me, all right? But if you don't know that, you're like, oh, you know, I really screwed up and your head's down, okay? So this is the one thing I want you to walk out understanding more clearly. Listen, as Christians, listen to this one. When I put my identity in Christ, when I know that I'm right standings with God, I am not perfect. I want you to know that. Everybody say, I'm not perfect, okay? But I became righteous. And if you're waiting for perfect, I got to go to heaven. So do you, okay? But I still do muff up, okay? So let's hear what Jesus has to say. Everybody turn over to Mark chapter, I don't know, I'll figure it out later. Mark chapter 2, that's right, okay. How many of you know the story of the guy, he was paralyzed? Anybody know the story of the guy that was paralyzed? He was laying on a cot, and he has how many friends? This is get a lollipop if you guess it right. Four friends, right? And they pick him up, the guy who's paralyzed, their friend, they pick him up and they carry him to go see Jesus. And the only problem, Jesus is in a house that is filled and they can't get in. Anybody know the story? Yep, okay. It's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all right? So what do? They climb up at the roof, just, you know, your everyday, climb on top of the roof, dig a hole and drop the guy down, okay? Can you imagine? I could hear thump, thump, thump. Somebody starts putting a hole in our roof. Good thing you can't climb up there unless you know where I keep the ladder. But so they drop their friend. I mean, not drop him. They lower him. That's really bad. They lower their friend. And Jesus is impressed. He's impressed. All right? He's impressed. He's impressed with what they did. Now, this house where Jesus is, there's a whole bunch of people. Remember, there's a whole bunch of people. They couldn't get in. That's why they tore apart the roof. There's a whole bunch of people in this house, and a bunch of the people in the house, a bunch, are the guys that don't like Jesus, the religious guys, the Pharisees and Sadducees. There's a bunch of them there, and they didn't like Jesus. I don't know. They just didn't like him, okay? And the Bible says, listen to this, the room was full of people, and the power of God was there to heal all. But those guys didn't get healed. You know why? Because they were there just trying to chew Jesus up every time he said something, okay? They were ready to pick apart. So, but it didn't bother Jesus. He's so cool. So listen, you don't have to, when people are talking about you and just smushing y'all, no big deal. Just go, no big deal. Give them the hand. Inside joke here. Give him the hand. Okay, so we have the four friends, and they don't drop him. They lower him. Okay? Mark chapter 2, verse 5. I'm going to read out of the Amplified because it just makes it really big. Here we go. Mark chapter 2, verse 5. And when Jesus saw their faith, okay? And the Amplified describes faith. Listen to what faith is. The confidence, their confidence in God through him. He said to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven. Now, wait a minute. This guy is paralyzed. He didn't come to get his sins forgiven. What did he come for? You're all smarter than a fifth grader. Absolutely, okay? But listen to this. Sometimes when you go to God, God will do things in you and show things to you that you didn't even know you had a problem with. Anybody ever go just hang out, sit down with Jesus, and you're like, God, blah, 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 and he's like, calm down, I want to talk to you. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay? So I just thought I'd throw that in there, all right? But listen, the reason why this happened is because if you have a sin consciousness, okay, I'm no good, I'm bad, I screwed up, okay, it's really hard to go and hang out, ask, approach God when you have a sin consciousness, okay? So that's what Jesus had to deal with that first. That's what he has to deal with first, okay? So let's read that again. Your sins are forgiven you. Put away, that is, the penalty is remitted, the sense of guilt removed, you are made upright and in right standing with God. Okay, you know what Jesus just did? He painted a picture of what the new covenant would be like. Let me read it again. Your sins are forgiven. That's new covenant. Okay, they're put away. That's new covenant. The penalty is remitted and the sense of guilt removed, okay? And you are made upright. Oh, my gosh, that sounds like righteousness, right? And in right standing, righteousness with God, all right? Praise God. So, you know, if you have ever been in the place where you think, oh, man, now that I've accepted Jesus, I've sinned so many times I can't count. All right? Matter of fact, I've done it once, twice, 100 times. You know, I can't be forgiven. I can't be forgiven, okay? And we live in a world and a culture where it's baseball. 3 strikes and you're out, right? You did it once, twice, 3 times, you're out, okay? Listen, can I say this? Your sin, which means miss the mark, is not greater than the blood of Jesus that cleanses you. It is not, your sin is not greater than that, all right? And so no matter what you've done, no matter how many failures, no matter how many times you've done it, okay, your sins are forgiven. Now, wouldn't it be nice if all Christians were so nice to people that did it? They did it again. They messed up. They messed up. They messed up a whole bunch of times. Wouldn't it be nice if we as Christians would say, hey, listen, let me give you a hand to pull you out of that again and again, all right? Yeah, how about? Because if our sins are forgiven, their sins are forgiven, and we as the salt and light should be helping people, all right? So here's one I want to close with. Not yet. Hang on. Okay. Michelle's my keyboard person, too. Okay. If you're struggling and you're thinking, there is no way, I'm a believer, but there is no way God can forgive me, all right? I want to read one last scripture. I'd love you to open up to it. Most of you could do cartwheels and recite it, but here we go. 1 John 1:9, 1 John 1:9, listen to this. Okay, so I am a Christian. I've accepted Jesus. I've been made right with him, but how do I fix this sense because I keep sinning, or I still sin occasionally, sure, all the time, Pastor Dave. Okay, 1 John 1:9 was on this side of your Bible, so guess who it was written to? Us. 1 John 1:9 was written to Christians, people who had accepted Jesus. They were far away, they asked Jesus into their life, they are Christians, okay? Listen to 1 John 1:9. If we, me, you, confess our sins to who? Him, okay? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness or sin or unrighteousness, okay? Now, let me say, when I first received Jesus, okay, before I was a sinner, right? We all start at the same place. But then when I first, that first time, that one and only time, I received Jesus into my life, I did not have to go and name all of my sins. One, I couldn't remember them, okay? And two, this is what you do when you ask Jesus first time, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I am a sinner, and I need a Savior. Jesus, come into my life. Okay, I didn't have to go. I'd be there till when the cows come home, right? You'd be there, okay? All righty, so we don't have to go over every sin when you become a Christian, okay? Now that you is a Christian, now that you are a Christian, how many of you still mess up? How many of you sin? We don't like that word. It really means miss the mark. How many of you miss the mark? It sounds so much better. I miss the mark, okay? I do. We do, okay? We miss the mark. We say things we shouldn't say. We do things we shouldn't do, okay? So we miss the mark. Everybody misses the mark. And here's all God wants you to do to fix the problem when you miss the mark. Father God, I missed the mark. Forgive me. Bam. That's it. It's really easy, okay? So some of you are like, I'd be doing that 24/7, Pastor D. Well, no, because listen, the more that you have a right standing with God consciousness, the more you won't miss the mark, okay? So we go, Father, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus, and I ask for forgiveness, okay? And you know what God does? You need to work for it, young lady. You need to pray more, young lady. You need to light some candles, young lady, okay? No, he just says, you're forgiven. Matter of fact, the Old Testament says, he throws your sins into the sea of forgetfulness, and he remembers them no more. Man, he's better than me. Don't you love to tell somebody, you did that? Okay, listen, God doesn't do that. He throws your sins away and never remembers them, okay? So when you get to heaven, they used to say this. When you get to heaven, the big movie screen is going to come down, and it's going to show all your sins. No, that was a hockey puck lie. It says, your sins are all removed. They're not going to go to heaven, and he's going to go bleep, 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 bleep. Praise God, he doesn't, okay? The Bible says the blood of Jesus cleanses us continually of all unrighteousness, okay? So I think we're going to pray. The man behind me, okay, praise the Lord. I am so thankful for all of our worship team. I really am. As I told Nevin today, or he said to me, we don't want to hear you sing, Pastor D, so we're glad to be up here. But I do want to say this, and I know I'm off course, but we're going to pray in a minute. But, you know, they spend a lot of time practicing, okay? They get together, they pray together, they study the word together, and they practice, okay? And I'm thankful. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. I remember the day we popped DVDs on for worship because we didn't have, you know, so I'm very grateful. Amen. But back on track here. Just close your eyes for just a few moments. Just bow your heads here. If you're here today and you have received Jesus and this guilt and shame just keeps coming up in your face because you muffed up, you failed, you did this, I just say right now, just go, Father God, I muffed up. I did bad, okay? And I confess my sin and I thank you for forgiving me. You need to do that right now and just camp out that you are forgiven, you are made right with God. He loves you, that's what he does. Amen? Praise God. My second thing is, if you're here and you're on the before side, you're far from God, today is a great day to say, I'm a sinner and I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life. So if you're here today and you would like to be on the other side, and I'd like to pray with you, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. And no one can come to the Father unless you start with me, unless you receive me. Okay? Now, Jesus has done everything. We just have to be a receiver. So if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor D, I've been caring a lot, and I'm ready. I'm ready to receive Jesus. I would love to pray for you. And you know, as I know so many of you have prayed this prayer, but how about we just pray this? Just pray this prayer out loud. If you're praying this prayer for the first time, let me tell you what will happen. He will take all your old past and it's gone, and he puts all new inside of you. You will then be a child of God. You have this connection, this right standing with him, okay? And it's just incredible. So if you're here and you'd like to pray this prayer, we're going to pray it out loud, okay? And you just pray it. And then, would you come up and tell me? I find out like 5 months later, oh, Pastor D, you know that Sunday I prayed that prayer. I would love to know. One, I want to give you a Bible. Two, I'm going to give you some materials that'll help you grow, okay? So everybody say, Father God, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And I know you sent Jesus to die for me, and he took all my sins. So today I receive Jesus into my life, into my heart. And I will commit to follow you, Jesus, the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It is so cool being on the after side. I am right with the Lord. Amen. And you need to go tell people. You know, it's really interesting. Have you ever, don't tell anybody, but I've eavesdropped on people's prayers. And you can tell they don't know they have right standing with Jesus. Okay? And you get to go tell them that because now you know. Amen? And now you got this great, ta-da! Amen. All right, stand up. Everybody stand up. Praise the Lord. Hey, next week we have our dear friend John Marola. Please come. Please bring a friend. Don't forget to sign up for the picnic because we're cruising on getting in that. So, Father, I thank you that these are your people. They are blessed coming in. They are blessed going out. Father, they are the anointed ones. Everything they set their hands on, they declare they prosper in. I declare they're prospering in. And I thank you, Father, they are sent ones. The salt and the light to tell people how incredible you are in this new life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like prayer for anything,